turn this microphone on here. I hate being tied to a pulpit. I'm glad to stand behind it, but I just don't want to get tied to it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I think that's it right there. I see Numbers. Amen. I've seen Deuteronomy before, too. Amen.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Yeah, goodness. Good to be saved, ain't it?
Yes, sir,
amen. I want to say this to the church. Thank you all for supporting us and for praying for us. And the last time we had prayer cards made, they lasted a good while because we ordered 3,000. And when they printed them, they ended up with a little bitty old mark on them. And I mean, you had to have a magnifying glass to find the mark. And so they printed 3,000 more. They said that wasn't acceptable, so they didn't charge us for 3,000 of them. Said, you want them? I said, you better believe I want them. I preach to Baptists. They ain't going to look that little mark, amen? Not when there's a beautiful woman like my wife on there, amen? But that one had my daughters on it, and they was about that tall. And a while back, he said, Daddy, you need to get a new prayer card. Amen. They're graduating college now. So we've got some new prayer cards, and it's a little different than the other one with our information. My cell phone's on this one. I don't have a home phone anymore, my email address and things of that nature. So my wife's got them. Please see her after church, and she'll give you one of them. And I'd ask if you would to stick it in your Bible. Use it for a marker as you're reading through your Bible and pray for us. Would you do that? Amen. I'm going to let you know just a little bit about what's been going on. But before I do that, I want to let you know just a little bit about why I'm here. I went out to the camper this morning. It's in the driveway, and I was just along with the Lord and studying, and it's a good place. It's quiet. There ain't nobody in there but me and him. And I went out there this morning early, and the Lord, I'm telling you, strong, just put the church and Brother Rackley on my heart. And I called Brother Rackley, and I don't know how you all are, but I'm a good Baptist. I try to get out of anything the Lord says to do right off the bat, amen. But I said, Lord, it's Sunday morning. That's what I said. It was before 8 o'clock. And about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes later, I looked over and I'd had a message on my phone. And Brother Craig, he had sent me a text just let me know he's praying for me and pray we have good services today. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll call him. And he answered the phone. And I said, Brother Rackley, am I supposed to be with you tonight? He said, Brother Vinoy, let me get my calendar and look and see. I said, you ain't going to need your calendar. It ain't on the calendar, amen. And he said, well, brother, maybe it's on the Lord's calendar, amen. And he invited us to come, and I really believe, like he said, I'm exactly where God wants me to be tonight, amen. Brother Billy, you were testifying, brother. And this past week, I was in a conference with the Rock of Ages in Cleveland. And one of our men, Brother Dustin Taylor, he's working in Mississippi. And he's working in a couple of prisons in West Tennessee as well, out there in Tiptonville. And he came to me and he said, Brother Vinoy, I run into somebody a little while back that knows you. And I said, well, who is he? He said, I've got his name wrote down in my Bible. So the next day he walked up to me, and I can't tell you his full name. I'm not allowed to do that, but his first name's Jerry. He said, do you remember this man? I said, I sure do. I said, I don't remember a lot, but I remember Jerry. He said, he told me, he said, he got saved at Brushy Mountain. I said, yeah, he got saved in the front of the chapel at Brushy Mountain. And I said, I remember him well. He said, he wanted me to tell you that God's still good and he's serving the Lord. Amen. And one of the things I remember about Jerry is preacher, he had hair down about his belt. And he got saved. And at Brushy Mountain, you can go up there. I think it's at least four. There might be 5 tiers. They've shut Brushy Mountain down now. It's an old prison. Outdated, but I loved it because I'm hard of hearing, number one, and it was open bars. You could just reach right through the bars and shake a man's hand, talk to him. These steel doors drive me crazy, amen. I can't hear you standing in front of me, let alone through a steel door. But anyway, I went up to see Jerry that afternoon. Well, I didn't go up to see him, but in the visitation, I went by, and the man that had just got saved that morning, he said, "Preacher, let me ask you something." He said, "There's something bothering me." And I said, "Jerry, what's bothering you?" He said, "My hair." He said, "Preacher, I don't know why it's bothering me. Do you?" I said, "Well, I might have an idea." I said, "What if we just look in the Word of God here and see what the Word of God says about it?" Amen. And I tell you, he read it and he said, "This ain't right, is it, preacher?" I said, "No, it ain't right. It ain't right." Amen. And next time I seen him, brother, he had that mess cut off. And he still got it cut off. Amen. And I just want you to know that God is still making a difference. Out here in the world, in the prisons, there's sinners everywhere. And I tell you, they need Jesus. They need somebody, amen, to love them. Somebody to care enough about them. Somebody to look beyond their faults and see their need. Amen. I was in a prison a while back, Brother Silas, and a man had demons tattooed. I'm talking about the back of his hand, his arms, all the way up the side of his neck. Demons and devilish stuff and all them symbols. I don't know what they mean. I ain't going to study them enough to learn what they mean. I've got a cross to stand behind. That's all I need. Amen. And I tell you, this man walked up to me and he said, "Preacher, I've been saved." He said, "But I'm ashamed of these marks and these tattoos and stuff. It's all over me." And I looked at that man and I said, "Sir, I'm glad you got saved." I said, "Let me tell you something about sin." He said, "What, preacher?" I said, "It tattooed me too." I said, "The only difference between your tattoos and mine is you can see yours." I said, "They stuff I'll carry to my grave because of the years that I sowed in sin." And I said, "The same God that forgave me forgave you." I said, "He ain't no looking at your tattoos, and I ain't either." Amen. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus tonight. Amen. The Lord's blessing in the Word. Pray for us about Virginia. I tell you, they said, "You can't do it." And I said, "Well, I understand, but God can." Amen. I'm already in Wallens Ridge. I'm already in Red Onion. I'm already in the United States Penitentiary in Lee County. I'm already in the Southwest Virginia Regional Jail. I've got the attention of the man in Richmond. He's working towards my statewide clearance, and I thank God for what he's doing. Amen. I'll be leaving next Saturday for Pennsylvania. I have to come home early from that meeting to take training at the prison at Red Onion. Just keep praying. I tell you, I'm meeting, and it's not a big meeting, preacher, at both of those prisons. One prison, we might have 45 to 55, sometimes 60 men. At the other prison, if we have 30 men, that's about an average crowd. At the other, it's not a real big meeting. You say, "Preacher, why do you want to keep going back?" I tell you, when you build a rapport with those men, and people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And I want to keep going back, but there's another reason I want that clearance. They tell me that if I can get that clearance, I can go back there where nobody goes. Those men are locked up 23 out of 24 hours. And when they get out in a cage about the size of that piano. Amen, that little section right there. And they're in a cage. They can't shake hands with anybody. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying, yeah, they're not in there for missing Sunday school. Right. Yeah, they're bad. Amen. But I tell you, I serve a God that specializes in the worst of the worst. Amen. They ain't no worse, Brother Silas, than Paul was. And God got him out of that mess. Amen. Turned him around for the glory of God. Amen. I want to be able to take a tray full of gospel literature and take this old King James Bible. I want to go by that cell, amen, and tell them about Jesus, amen. One that knows where they are, amen. One that knows what they've done, and one that loves them anyway. Amen. I praise the Lord for that. Well, let's get in the Word tonight. You want to? 2 Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians, the passage of Scripture I'm going to read in your hearing is very, very, very familiar. But the message that you're going to hear tonight I dare say it's not really familiar. In 26 years, I just celebrated my birthday. I was born again February the 22nd, 26 years ago. Amen. I know I look a little older than 26. That's because you're not looking at the new part. You're looking at the old part. Amen. The old part's having a rough time. Amen. But thank God the new part on its way home. Amen. Don't laugh, preacher. Your old part's having a rough time too. Amen. 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 All right. Let's look here in the Bible. 2 Corinthians, if you find your place. Chapter number 12. My wife said a while ago, she said, "You got your glasses?" I said, "If I don't, it'll all be my memory." Amen. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. Let's see what God says here. He's speaking to the church at Corinth through the Apostle Paul. Before I start reading, this is a part of the text and the context where the Apostle Paul is vindicating his apostleship. And he's telling the church some things that says, you know, I know you might not understand, but I am the man of God that God's called to the Gentiles. Amen.
Right.
And he's given them some things in his history and his experience that I want to share with you tonight. The Bible said in verse number 7 of chapter 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." You understand that the Apostle Paul had been caught up into the third heaven. The Apostle Paul had seen things that you and I have never seen. We read about them, thank God, amen. We know it's real, but he had been caught up.
Right.
And God said here, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure," Paul said, "through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me." I want to read that again. "There was given to me." I want to read it one more time. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh."
Yep.
I won't know about you, but before this morning, early this morning, never, never, never in my 26 years, Brother J.R., being saved by the grace of God, never, never, never have I thanked God for a thorn.
Right.
But I'll tell you, when God got a hold of my heart this morning, I don't believe there'll be a day go by the rest of my life here on this earth that I won't stop and thank God for the thorns in my life. I'll show you. Look here in the Bible. He said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He said that twice in verse number 7. "For this thing I besought the Lord." Now listen, I don't believe this one of them little bitty prayers, do you? And when he said, "I besought the Lord three times," I believe there was a desperation in his prayer life. He wanted this off of him, if it could all be possible, that it might depart from me. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." If you have a red letter Bible, mine is not, but these are the words of the Lord. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You can be seated tonight. Pray with us. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I pray, God, tonight that, Lord, that you have given me in the spirit of the study, that you have given me, Lord, in my spirit and experience.
Yes.
God, I pray tonight it could be conveyed, Lord, through the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the word of God tonight. God, you know my heart tonight. I want to be a blessing to this dear pastor and his dear people. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that when we leave this place, we never look at a thorn the same again. I pray, God, tonight that you would minister to our hearts and to our lives. In Jesus' name, and amen and amen. I want to preach for a little while tonight on this subject, the ministry of thorns. The ministry of thorns. Brother Mike, I don't know a lot about what you've been through, But all I got to know is you're a born again child of God. No, you've been through a lot. Amen. Because the thorns are coming. Amen. The thorns in our life. The ministry of thorns. I want to concentrate on this passage of scripture and give you some things tonight that the Lord has shared with me. First of all, I want to talk to you about the promise of thorns. Just laying a little bit of groundwork. Do you remember over there in the book of Genesis? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis and chapter number 3. The promise of thorns. The word of God said here in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said unto Adam in verse 17, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18 said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? First of all tonight, God is the one that promised the thorns were coming. That wasn't something that Adam promised. Adam would have rather gotten out of that part. Amen. But God said, because of sin, the thorns are coming. Amen. And the curse is upon mankind. The curse is upon the creation. And the thorns are coming because and as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. The word of God said, wherefore as by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible said in the book of Job, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I tell you, there's good days and there's bad days, but when we'll look at it in the light of eternity as a child of God, they're all good days, amen, because there's a God in a heaven working in our hearts and working in our lives. I believe with all of my heart when the Apostle Paul said this, listen to this, he could relate to this curse. He said, you know, I love the Apostle Paul. He says, if you're going to talk about saints, he said, I'm less than the least. He said, if you want to talk about sinners, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He said, if you're talking about sinners, I'm on the top. If you're talking about saints, I'm on the bottom. I love that. Amen. And I'll tell you something tonight. You'll understand before this sermon is over. Without the thorns, it would not have been that way in the Apostle Paul's life. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, tonight, think about the promise of the thorns. Let me ask you something. Did God promise? Did he deliver? Anybody know where there's some thorns around? Amen. I'll guarantee you there's some thorns in the flesh here tonight. Say amen. I'm telling you tonight, listen, there's a lot of people preaching this health and wealth junk. Amen. You know I'm telling it right. You got a headache, you ain't right with God. I tell you, I'd like for everyone in that crowd to read their Bible just once. Say amen. Because there's some godly men and women that suffered along the way. Amen. Just read a history book. Amen. Read about the people that our forefathers and men and women that rather than my friend give up this precious book would be burned at a stake or boiled in oil. They would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, the promise of thorns. The second thing I want to call your attention to as we think about the ministry of thorns, and we're going to get to the text here in a minute, is the pain or the pricking of the thorns. I don't know about you, preacher, but all I got to do is get just a little thorn. And I tell you, I'm just about going to quit what I'm doing, and I'm going to dig until I get it out. Amen. I'm telling you, I like to hunt. Some of you fellas know that. I tell you, go through the woods. I used to go through the woods, and I ain't going to tell you what I used to say. When a big old thorn would catch me in the ear, my ears looked like they belonged to an elephant somewhere. Amen. I ain't going to tell you what I used to say, but I'll tell you what I say now. When a big old thorn hooks me in that ear, I said, that's all right, buddy. Your days are coming. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, if one sticks me this spring, turkey hunting, or next fall, deer hunting, I'm going to say something different than that. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for the thorns. Because God has given me a truth that stirred my heart and causes me to want to say, glory, thank you, Lord, for the thorns. Amen. The pain or the pricking, a little thorn, we're not satisfied till we dig it out. It nags at us. Amen. You see, you've got some thorns that other people don't know about. They're out of sight. They're down deep. Say amen right there.
Yes, sir.
But they're there and they're nagging. Amen. You know I'm telling it right. Amen. And then there's that big thorn that'll cut a gash in you and everybody can see that. Amen. I've come out in the woods before and looked like somebody pulled my earrings out. Amen. I mean, ripped a wide open in the lobe down there. But I thank God tonight. Listen, let's look at the pain for just a minute and the pricking of the thorns. I believe there's something here for you and I to see. First of all, turn to Romans chapter 8 for just a minute. Romans chapter 8. If you'll stay with me tonight, I'll try not to be here till midnight. That makes anything short of 10 o'clock sound good, don't it? Amen. Romans chapter number 8. Listen to what the Bible said in verse 22. The Bible said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. There is pain in these thorns found in the creation. The Bible tells us that right here. And the creation groans. And it wants to travail and wants to be delivered from the pain. Take your Bible and turn over to chapter 11 in 2 Corinthians, just across the page. And we'll begin in verse number 23. Not only is this pain found in the creation, but this pain is found in the Christian. The Word of God said here, this is the man that's writing to us. The Bible said in verse 23, I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths all. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. This is 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 25. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings often, in hunger, thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Let me ask you a question. Was the Apostle Paul a Christian? Was he a Christian? Was he a man of God? I just read to you a list, my friend, that would send the average Christian in this generation packing. Say amen. I'm telling you, send them to the house in a heartbeat. But we're talking about a man, Brother Scott, that said, listen, let me tell you, I've been through some things. But he said, for our light affliction, amen, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You say, preacher, how could he call the thorns of this life a light affliction? Because he had his eyes on something that was eternal instead of something that was temporal. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Friend of mine, the pain and the pricking of the thorns is found in the creation, but it's found in the Christian. But let me give you this, that pain is found at the cross. You say, preacher, what are you saying? How many remembers what they did? I won't take the time to remember what they platted and put on the head of Jesus, a crown of thorns. There's pain involved with that platting of that crown. They were mocking him. They said, he says he's a king. A king needs a crown. Amen. They were not only mocking him, but they were hurting him. They would buffet him. He would go through a scourging. He would be nailed. He would be so marred that his visage was marred more than the form of any man. Isaiah chapter number 52 tells us. Right. Oh, my friend, listen. When you get to the cross, you see the pain of the thorns. You say, well, preacher, back over yonder, you talked about the promise of the thorns. Yeah, but there was also a promise of a thorn bearer. Yes. Say amen right there. Yes. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Word of God said that, listen, He, the Lord Jesus, became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I tell you, thank God, listen, there's the ministry of thorns, and the thorns hurt, and they were hurting at Calvary as well. Amen. Something I learned. Listen, I'm still learning. But something that I didn't know. Brother Rackley, Abraham took Isaac up that mountain. Everybody knows that story that knows much about the Bible. Isaac said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, son, God will provide Himself a lamb. You see, a lot of these modern versions get it all mixed up. Say amen. But I tell you, God got it right. Didn't say He would provide for Himself a lamb. It said He would provide Himself a lamb. I believe that was prophetic of the Lord Jesus and the suffering that would take place. I knew all that. But what I didn't know, well, it blessed my heart one day when God was dealing with my heart about giving an offering that I didn't have. If you want some faith, commit to $1,000 you ain't got. Amen. But the Lord used the scripture over there in the book of Hebrews. That's the greatest text on Abraham and Isaac. God said to me, sitting back there, we was getting ready to build a church over there at Oak Glen. God said to me, He said, Abraham trusted me to raise up Isaac. Couldn't you trust me to raise up $1,000? You say, preacher, was Isaac going to be slain by Abraham? Was Abraham really intending to stick him? Read Hebrews 11, I believe you'll say amen. I believe He was going to stick him. Step back and say, okay, Lord, Your turn. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because God had promised that Isaac would be the seed. That would be like the sand by the seashore, would be the stars innumerable. Amen. You say, what's that got to do with the ministry of thorns? Listen to me. When God, the angel of God, stayed His hand, what was called over there? A ram. Now here's what our Bible says. Our Bible says there was a ram caught in the thicket. Hallelujah. If you look up the Hebrew word for thicket, here's what it'll tell you. A thicket of thorns. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that ram had his head all caught up in the thorns. He was going to be a perfect type, hallelujah, of the substitute for you and for me. Thank God we see not only the promise of thorns, we see the pricking and the pain that causes the thorns, caused by the thorns. You remember when Jesus was talking to that outfit over there? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, that throwed him for a loop, didn't it? Amen. He said this. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. When I looked at that, Brother Rackley, I wondered, what did Abraham see when he looked over at that ram caught in that thicket? Amen. I believe with all of my heart tonight, there's the promise of thorns. There's the pain that comes as a result. But let me tell you this, the Apostle Paul, this same man said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let me say this to you tonight. We're living in a generation. We want Christianity without a cross. And we want a cross without thorns. Would somebody say amen? I'll tell you, we ought to thank God tonight for the thorns. Let me give you this tonight. Moving on in the message, let's look now at the text, at the purpose of the thorns. I'd give you just a couple of things here tonight. First of all, I believe there's a purpose. The thorns in my life and in your life are to reveal our weaknesses. And we got them. Brother Reckley, you know I'm telling it right. Preachers are the best at hiding their weaknesses, ain't they? Ain't no wonder our people do. Say amen. I mean, we don't want nobody to know where we're weak and where we're vulnerable. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The devil knows where we're weak. And the devil knows where we're vulnerable at. And I'd say this. Paul said, listen, there's a purpose here. Not only does it reveal my weakness, thank God he doesn't stop there. It reveals his strength. That's what the thorns do in our life. That's why God would say, listen, let's learn like Paul to thank him for the thorns. I believe the thorns have a twofold purpose in my life. Number one, I don't believe I'd ever be what God wants me to be without the thorns. So the thorns are helping me to be what God wants me to be. Now, preacher, I'm not saying anything about what you said a while ago, but you got it right. If it wasn't for God's grace, where would we be tonight? What would we be doing tonight? But I just want to add to that a little bit, if I may. If it wasn't for the thorns, brother, where might you be tonight? And where? You say, now, preacher, how can you put those two comments together? Because it's the grace of God. Listen what the Bible said. There was given to me. There was given to me. We like to talk about God giving us heaven. We like to talk about God giving us eternal life. But he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan. Oh, you say, now, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with God. Let me tell you something about the child of God. You read the book of Job, chapter number one. If this is God's desk, and Job is here, and the enemy's over here, anything the enemy wants to do has to pass across God's desk before it can happen. Somebody say amen. And if it passes across God's desk, and God stamps it, okie dokie, then God's got a purpose in it. And thank God it's grace that brings it our way. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, do you really believe there's a purpose? I really do. Listen, there's no telling where we would be if it weren't for the thorns. Let's get on this thing. Come on down the runway here just a little bit. No, I'm not fixing to take off, fixing to land. Amen. I used to preach until the Lord got done. Then I started going to prison, and I preached till the state said I was done. Then I had that wreck 5 years ago, and now I just preach till my body says I'm done. And I'm usually done before the state of the Lord, either one gets done. Say amen. Amen. You'll get that after a while. Amen. If you don't, I pray God give you some of this thorn. Say amen. Amen. The product of the thorns. I want you to see something here tonight. How many of y'all believe God was, that the Apostle Paul was a godly man? You know, Brother Billy, there are people that would criticize you for what you did a while ago. But there's not a greater truth that you could teach these young people than to have some godly heroes in their life. Them heroes ain't on the basketball court. They ain't on some rock and roll stage. Amen. Oh, I thank God tonight for the heroes. I bragged on the pastor I was saved under last week, brother. Brother Wishon, he is still one of my heroes, yes, amen. Yes, sir. There ain't nothing wrong with that, amen. Don't make a God, and he wasn't, amen. There's a God in heaven, amen. But I'm going to tell you, he uses men down here on the earth. Let me give you this. Let's look at this product of the thorns. Number one, let me just say something about this godliness in Paul's life. It won't take me just a few minutes to say five things right here. Number one, pride is deserted. Brother Ackley, you may not have a problem with it, but I do. Every time the Lord gets to blessing me real good, Brother Craig, there's something trying to crawl to the top in my life. I have to just constantly work at it because we're not supposed to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. You know something? You say, preacher, you mentioned that wreck. Let me tell you something right now. That I experienced. I'm not trying to be gross, but I couldn't even go to the restroom by myself. Are you listening to me? I couldn't take a shower. I couldn't take a bath. Thank God there ain't no nurse, no orderly, no doctor ever touched me to bathe me. My precious wife bathed me. But I'm going to tell you something, laying flat on your back, your children pull you up in the bed, take a pitcher of water and wash your hair for you. I say it's humbling. Say amen right there. I tell you, I had me one more fit in that camper this morning. I said, oh God, I'll never want to complain again. I just want to thank you for the thorns, because Lord, I believe that even at that point in my life, I begin to think a little more highly of myself than I ought to think. When the thorns come, pride is deserted. Amen. Ain't no pride left. I'm going to tell you something right now. We dread words like this, cancer, don't we? We dread the phone ringing. My mama went to heaven a year ago in January. And we dread those conversations with a loved one. We dread having to stand by their bedside as they take their last breath. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's humbling. Ain't it, brother? Man, climb these mountains. But I tell you, there was a time in my life when I couldn't even get up the driveway, let alone climb a mountain. And it's humbling. When Paul said this, he said, there was given to me a thorn, number one, lest I should be exalted above measure. Pride is deserted. Secondly, prayer is determined. You want to get a man on praying ground? You get a thorn stuck in him just right. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The word of God said, for this thing I besought the Lord. I don't think we're talking about some little, now I lay me down to sleep. I believe this man on three different occasions, Brother Rackley, had a season of prayers where he begged God, oh God, if you will, take this thorn away from me. He said, preach, I don't know what the thorn was. I don't either for sure. Anything and everything, really speculation. But if you read it in the context, it might help a little bit. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And then describing that, he said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Because of that revelation that God had given. Now, this is just me. I'm not going to be dogmatic, not going to fall out of anybody. Don't believe this. But I believe every time Paul got up to preach, the messenger of Satan stuck him and said, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. I hope God don't ever do me like he did Paul. I hope, listen, Brother Rackley, when he shows me something, I can't wait to tell it, ain't he? I can't wait to tell it. How'd you like to have to stand, preacher, every time, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night? You done been over yonder, but you can't say anything about it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. And then they'd make a god out of him. He'd be exalted. You read the book of Acts, they tried that anyway. Yeah. Even when he didn't tell it. One minute they'd be saying he's a devil, and the next minute they'd be wanting to worship him. Yeah. He's a god. I'm going to tell you something right now. Prayer was determined in his life. He'd get ready to go to that pulpit. Brother Rackley, getting ready to tell that prisoner next to him about Jesus. He spent most of his life in prison. Amen. I hear God say. He getting ready to tell a man about Jesus. Can't you just hear? Said, oh God, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me, Lord. Because you know, Lord, when I open my mouth, if you don't help me, there's something liable to come out that you don't want to come out. I'm going on from that. But I don't know about you. Preachers know what I'm talking about. Sunday school teachers know what I'm talking about. Soul winners know what I'm talking about. When God shows you something, you just can't wait to tell it. If ever comes a day you won't listen to what God tells me, then I'll try to take my family up there around a stump somewhere. And if they don't want to hear it, I'll find me a good, lovable dog. Say amen. I'm going to tell that dog what God said to me. Amen. And God might let that dog speak back to me. Amen. Like he did Balaam's donkey. Say amen. He might let a dog say amen, preacher. The thorns, the product, prayer is determined. Pride is deserted. And I'm going to tell you something else. Peace is delivered. You think about this for just a minute. Glory to God. You say, where do you find peace in that text? Two words, my grace. Now we're back over on Brother Rackley's side. Amen. My grace, my grace, my grace is sufficient for thee. You say, what happened right there in Paul's life? I believe he said, okay, Lord, it'll be all right. Lord, it's going to be the grace of God that's going to see me through. It's the grace of God that saved me. And the grace of God's going to deal with this thorn in my life. Let me tell you something right now. God knows what I need, and God knows what you need better than you know what you need, better than I know what I need. And by the grace of God, he'll give it to us. The thorn, my friend, it brings a peace. Peace is delivered. Let me give you this. Power is discovered. Notice what the Bible said right here. The Bible said, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, therefore will I rather complain? No. Gripe? Murmur? No. He said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. He said, preacher, what's that prove right there? It proves that he believed God. God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you don't find him after that. My friend, here in this text, he ain't beseeching the Lord anymore about it. He, in the rest of his life, he ain't talking to Timothy about it. He's not talking to anybody about it. But thank God, he said, hey, there's a peace that passes all understanding. God will help me. After all, God give it to me. Amen. And God will help me. The product of the thorns, godliness. Let me give you this last thing. Not only pride is deserted, prayer is determined, peace is delivered, power is discovered, but there's a pleasure that is displayed. Preacher, right here, I'm falling short. I'm falling short right here. I want God to help me after what he's done in my heart today, to help me right here. Look at this verse right here. Look at verse number 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. When's the last time you found you a Baptist taking pleasure in their thorn, in their infirmities? Pleasure is displayed. This ain't something that's just going on in Paul's heart. You see, I believe with all of my heart, you're going to get over there and you're going to find the Apostle Paul writing letters to churches like Corinth, writing to the church at Galatia, writing to young preachers like Timothy. And I believe if his heart was full of bitterness, we'd know about it. Somebody say amen. You don't find him doing one thing but bragging on the grace of God, praying for the people of God, amen, trying to get people to Jesus, and it's all because of pleasure. He said, most then gladly, therefore, will I take pleasure in my infirmities, yes, that the power of Christ. He said, if I could trade this thorn for the power of Christ, I'll just keep my thorn. If I have to trade this thorn for the power of Christ, I'll just keep my thorn, because it's a package deal. Let me tell you something right now. Brother, I heard this, and you know it's true. You know a lot more men of God than I do, preacher. But some of them begged God, didn't they, for God's power? Brother, they suffer tremendously, don't they? They don't just preach from a book. They preach from a life. Amen. And sometimes when we're begging God for his power and his presence in our life, sometimes we sit there as preachers. We say, boy, I'd like to have the touch that man of God has. But here's what we want. We want the touch without the thorn. It ain't coming. I want to thank God for the ministry of thorns in my life. Can you sit still 5 more minutes?
Yes, sir.
When I get done, I'll just be done. I'll just say, Brother Rackley, you come. But I want to give you one last thing. I want to look at a prophecy concerning the thorns. Turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55. Years ago, I got acquainted with a man out of Bristol. His name was Dr. Howard Robinson. Did you ever know him, preacher? I hope you love him like I did, preacher. Simple, wasn't he? Humble. But he'd give it to you, wasn't he? Amen. Years ago, Brother Howard preached a meeting for me when I was in Wise County, Virginia. I believe he preached for me a time or two when I was at Liberty. My memory really is failing me these days. I like that song, Should the Day Come, I Can't Remember Him. He'll still remember me. Glory to God. Amen. Brother Howard said something to me, preacher, I never have forgot. He said, preacher, a good sermon is like a sandwich. I said, okay, here we going here, preacher. I was young. I probably wasn't over 30, maybe 32 years old. That's been several years ago. He said, you started a sermon with a piece of bread. He said, started with a piece of bread. He said, in the middle of that sermon, preacher, he said, you might have to get meaner than a junkyard dog. He said, that's where the mater and the mayonnaise and the meat, and throw it all on there. He said, that's where it belongs, in the middle of that sandwich. But he said, preacher, don't send your people to the house with guts and gallbladders hanging out. He said, don't you forget to lay another piece of bread on top of that sandwich. I never forgot that, preacher. Now that was Howard Robinson theology, I'm sure, because I ain't never heard nobody else say nothing like that. But that man of God ministered to a lot of people. Did a great work for God in Bristol. I look at sermons like this, and you talk about the promise of the thorns and the pain, the pricking of the thorns, and the purpose of the thorns and the product of the thorns. And I wonder, is there a piece of bread anywhere to be found? Amen. But look at Isaiah chapter 55 for just a minute. The word of God said in verse number 12, for you shall go out with joy. This is talking about the millennium. And be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Can you see trees? Amen. You say, preacher, what are they getting so excited about? I tell you what, the curse has been lifted. Amen. The whole creation groans and travails and wants out from under it. And they're just excited because the curse has been lifted. Now watch this. Look at verse 13. Instead of the thorn. Glory! Thank God there's a day coming for the children of God instead of the thorn. Instead of the thorn. Instead of the thorn. Notice what the Bible said. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The prophecy concerning the thorns. The word of God said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon. That tells me that Paul was not from Pennsylvania. They don't know what that word means up there. Amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Watch. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That tells me they're going to something happen among the children of God first. Amen. The Bible said here, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter 22. I'm trying to hurry on purpose. Amen. I'm about out of gas. Amen. Chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. Look here what the Bible said. In chapter 22 and verse number 3. Hey, let me ask you a question. Look at me a minute. See if anybody can remember. Where did this message start on thorns? Where did it start? Genesis chapter 3. As a result of the curse. Read that verse. Read it nice and loud. Read it. 22:3 right there.
And there shall be no more curse.
You can stop right there. Hallelujah. And there there shall be no more curse. You can do whatever you want to. I'm going to thank him for the thorns while I'm here. But I'm going to praise him for the day. It's just right around the corner for the children of God, Brother Mike, when there'll be no more curse, no more thorns. The Bible said there'll be no more pain, no more death, neither sorrow, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. A beautiful rose without a thorn. You know something? Jesus is the rose of Sharon. Let me tell you something else he is, Brother Craig. Hold on right here. I'll catch you out there at the light if you don't. Amen. He's also the lily among thorns. He's the rose. Yes, he is. But he's the lily among thorns. Yes, he is. Thank God. Thank God for the ministry of the thorns. I don't know about you, but I thank the Lord for the day when we won't only have the lily among thorns, but we'll have the lily with no more thorns. I can't remember what I've told where, so forgive me if I've told this here. How many of y'all never met me before tonight? I'll tell it for you. The rest of you don't listen if you don't want to. Amen.